Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 102, stanzas 1 through 5. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. 1 through 5 of Psalter 102. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, thereof the 5th chapter, from verse 12 through verse 26. Luke 5, verses 12 through 26. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 5, beginning with verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, and saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, in which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto the man, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know and that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of the heavens and of the earth, we have read together of thy almighty power. And not only so, but also of thy willing heart, where it was the faith of one who was so full of that awful and dread disease. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And thou didst say, I will, O Lord. Wilt thou do it also to us? Wilt thou remember us in this day and our dear children? Oh, that it may be the cry also of our hearts. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. For we have heard that it is not only the body, but it is especially the soul. And where thou didst also forgive the sins of this man, Lord, we beseech thee, oh, if thou wilt, thou canst make us clean too, from the top to the bottom, when we are from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, when it is from the oldest of us, to the youngest of us, in whatever station or place that we may have in this life, every one of us so born in a sin and in trespasses and in so much need that we may be cleansed, that we may be washed, that we may be forgiven. Lord, we beseech thee, have mercy upon us and our dear children. Oh, plant the need in our hearts, and because we don't see it by nature, but we go on without thee in this world, as so calm, as so content, and then to a never-ending eternity. Lord, we don't realize, being dead in sins and in trespasses, being without spiritual life, we don't realize that we live in a city of destruction, that this place will soon be burned with fire, and that we must hasten for the sake of our life. Oh, Lord, awaken us with our children. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. Work by thy Spirit with might and with power upon our dead souls. O thou who art, and thine ear is not heavy, that it cannot hear, thine arm that is not short, in that it cannot save. Thou art our only hope and our only expectation, because we will never turn unto thee except thou turn us, nor will we run after thee except thou wilt draw us. Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Remember all thy children. Oh, that thou would feed them, Lord. Wilt thou instruct them also? Wilt thou rebuke where it is necessary? And that thou may not deal with thy people as they so justly deserve. Oh, thou hast made a covenant with thine only begotten Son.
It is unbreakable. They stand so safe. But Lord, for their own soul, it can be in a condition wherein they are so far away. And there are so many doubts and perplexities. Oh, visit thy vine, and wilt thou instruct more and more, that knowledge of self may increase, that thou may become all the more precious, necessary, and suitable in thine only begotten Son. Glorify thyself. Remember all those that need thee in special ways in this life. Lord, care for the afflicted and the sick, and all those that are old and ailing in the body, those that are in hospitals or institutions of mercy, those that are in their own homes that listen by church telephone. Wilt thou give a Sabbath day's blessing, and wilt thou supply in all the needs of those that are distraught in this world. Be with those that are fighting in the warfares. Wilt thou protect a human life? Wilt thou spare in mercy? Wilt thou put away the devices of the prince of darkness? Wilt thou give peace? Wilt thou supply the answer to all the riddles and all the perplexities? Lord, remember also the nation of the Jewish people. Lord, may thou bring them again. Thou didst say that thou art able to graft them in again. Oh, then we cannot boast ourselves. But Lord, wilt thou look on them and give a true repentance, give an opening of the eyes, that thy dear Son may become precious also unto them. And wilt thou look upon all those that rule and reign over us? Wilt thou supply wisdom, courage, and strength to do what is right and to walk according to thy laws? Turn us again, O Lord, and wilt thou not allow us to continue on that pathway that is leading us to a certain destruction, and bringing thy judgments upon us as a land and as a people. Give judges to judge according to thy holy law. And wilt thou look upon the missionaries, thy servants, over the length and the breadth of the whole world, and all those that labor far from their loved ones. Wilt thou supply in the needs of each and every day, and wilt thou bless the labors of their hands? Wilt thou be with parents and children? Give wisdom. Give faithfulness. Remember those that are not married. Those that have no children. Those whose families have passed away. Those who go over this life alone. Wilt thou be near unto them also, and supply in the needs of body and of soul. Lord, look upon us also in this afternoon once again. It is that portion of thy holy word where our forefathers were given to explain. Oh, wilt thou give us also wisdom? Give us also thy spirit. And wilt thou give a need? Oh, may there be a need in the midst of this congregation for that blessed confession, that blessed truth which is before us in this afternoon hour. Oh, that is standing in the foreground, that is the foundation of our reconciliation with thee. Lord, remember us then, and give us a good afternoon together for this hour. Be among us as one that doth serve and forgive and keep us from all sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 232, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints. But let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. All stanzas of Psalter 232. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Who is this question coming from? That is, from the Pharisees, from the scribes. They did not believe that the Lord Jesus was God. And yet they themselves they'd confess that God is able to forgive sins. It is too bad that they themselves were not able to forgive sins. That is, even of a publican who came in that way of true repentance. And yet they were not able to forgive. But that is man. As guilty as he is in himself, so much difficulty does he have to forgive the sins of his neighbor. But we cannot be reconciled. Cannot be reconciled with one another unless that we truly forgive one another. And God and man cannot be reconciled unless God is willing to forgive the sin of his creature. And so the Lord is doing in the life of his children when they may come as the prodigal son, when they may come in that way of true sorrow, when they may come in the way of true repentance, when they may truly turn unto God, and then there is reconciliation. That a man may come into the favor and the communion with the Lord again. And that is now the subject of our Heidelberg Catechism in this afternoon. And therefore, with the Lord's help, we wish to consider together Lord's Day 21. And thereof only question 56. Lord's Day 21, question 56. What believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sins? Answer, that God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. So far, our Lord's Day, the forgiveness of sin. First, what sin is. Second, what sin brings. Third, sin can be forgiven. The forgiveness of sin. First, what sin is. Second, what sin brings. Third, sin can be forgiven. Congregation, we read that the Lord has spoken unto his servant Isaiah. And Isaiah was sent unto the children of Israel. And the Lord has instructed his servant what to say unto his own people. And then he said to him that he had to cry aloud, that he had to lift up his voice like a trumpet. And the Lord says that he had to show unto my people their transgressions and unto the house of Jacob their sins. We know the history of Israel, how that they were walking in a way that the Lord had forbidden. And so the Lord was ready to bring that people into the land of captivity, to chastise them. And now the Lord says the same thing unto his servants today, and that they are to show unto his people, his church, to lay out before them what their sin is. Why? That they might despair? No. But that they might know the reality, that it might be the opposite of despair. That is, that there may be a true repentance, that there may be a true turning, and that is the Lord's final aim, that there may be forgiveness, that there may be reconciliation. Therefore, the Lord says, show unto my people their sins. Therefore, in our confession, then every Sabbath we read, I believe the forgiveness of sins. What a precious article. I believe the forgiveness of sins. That it is possible that my sins may be forgiven. Young people, do you think that that desire belongs only to your parents or to those that have become old? It is not so. Do you know where that desire begins? That desire begins where the Lord works. May we tell you something in this afternoon for just a moment. We were only your age, young people. Don't know. 16, 17. Did you ever wait? Did you ever count? Maybe sometimes the weeks until you are going to go away, or we know you do that. And then when school is going to end in the spring, and then 5 weeks, 4 weeks, 3 weeks before, then you are counting until that time that you may have vacation. Do you know? When we were your age, do you know what the Lord has given in our heart? That was not from us. No, that was from the Lord. And sometimes we look back and we say, if we could only come there in that place again. But I remember when I was your age and I was sitting in the church and I was counting. 6 weeks, 5 weeks, 4 weeks, until what? Or I was looking ahead when that we were going to hear about the explanation of this article. Or when may I hear something about the forgiveness of my sins? How? That also my sins may be forgiven before that holy and that righteous God. Oh, seek the Lord, young people, boys and girls, in your youth. The forgiveness of sins. We say that every week again. I believe the forgiveness of sins. Then what a precious article. And if we will need to be forgiven, then what has to come first? Then we have to begin to know what sin is. That we may acknowledge our sin, that we may confess our sin. And therefore, that is the first working of the Holy Spirit in the life of His people, to show unto His children what their sins are. And that is not only
to show their sin, but there is something else. There is also to plant in their heart love. Say, why love? Because when I may know what my sin is, that does not make me weep. Nor when I have to come before a judge, then I am not weeping, but I am fearing, I am trembling. But when I may have love, then I do something else, then I weep. And thus the work of the Holy Spirit, that is to plant love and the knowledge, that impression of our sin. How does the Lord do that? How does the Lord show to a person what his sin is?
The Lord does that by the preaching of his word. The Lord does that especially by the preaching of his law. By his law.
It is not so that the Lord is showing to a man what his sin is by the preaching of the gospel. That is what man will have us to believe today. That the gospel that is preached, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached, and that a man is convicted of his sin in not responding to the call of the gospel.
Congregation, that is not so.
That is turning everything upside down. Then we do not understand at all the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. How was that in the life of Paul?
You hear that also sometimes, young people. Then there are people, they will say, now look how that the Lord has converted Paul. Who spoke to him? That was the Lord Jesus. That is true. And so when you read that history, then you say, where is the law? Congregation.
Then we cannot see everything in every history of the conversion of God's true church. See that in the example of the Apostle Paul. And yet what does Paul teach us himself? Paul says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Therefore, a catechism that says, whence knowest thou thy misery, that is out of the law of God. Thus, Paul, was he not convicted of the law? Absolutely. Paul says it himself. Paul says, I was alive without the law once.
Did he know the law? Oh, yes, he did.
Brought up under Gamaliel. But he was alive because that law that had never entered into his heart. I was alive without the law once. But he says, then the commandment came. And then sin revived. The commandment that showed me what my sin was. The commandment came, sin revived, and I, he says, died. So the Lord is teaching the sin unto his own church by his law. That law that is the schoolmaster unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That law shows to us what we have broken.
Oh, did we ever receive something of the knowledge of our own sin?
Did our sin ever become a reality to us? Did our sin ever become a burden?
So I cannot convert myself. No, that is true. May we remain with that doctrine our whole life. But congregation, there is a means that the Lord is using to convert His people. And we are responsible for the use of those means. What does the Lord have to teach us first? That is our transgression of the law. Congregation, read it then. Read it. Sit with that law. We read it every Sabbath day again. Compare your heart with that law of God. Compare your whole life with that law of God. That law of God, that is what we are going to be judged by very soon. Sooner than we think, sooner than we expect, then we will stand before God, and what will God show to us? His law. Before His tribunal. If we have never considered His law in our lifetime, we are going to consider His law then. If we have never been forgiven here, then we shall never be forgiven there. That is why the Lord said to Isaiah, cry aloud. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Say it loudly, that everyone may hear. Show unto my people their transgression, and unto the house of Jacob their sins. Thus, congregation, what are they? What is sin? The Bible that uses different terms for sin. It is called sin. It is called iniquity. It is called transgression. John says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is called in the Word of God revolt. Revolt. What is revolt? That means I rebel. I refuse to submit myself to a lawful authority. I refuse to listen to His commands. I refuse to do as He says. Every transgression that is rebellion against that law of God. With every transgression, then we say that we have no desire to subject ourselves unto our lawmaker. With every sin, then we say, I will not have Him to reign over us, and I desire not the knowledge of His ways. Oh, to revolt, that is to break a covenant. That covenant, that agreement made between God and our father Adam, to break it. That is, we said that we would keep it, and we have declined to do so. That is to be unfaithful. That is to commit treason. That is to go over to the side of the enemy, to join with the devil. That is the bent, that is the inclination of our natural heart. Ever since paradise. That is not only in our actions, but that is lying also within our heart. The Lord Jesus said, it is not what goes into the mouth that defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth defileth a man. Why? Because it is from the heart.
And he says, it is out of the heart that proceeds murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. That is the fountain out of which every sin is coming. And if you and I, if we are not breaking out into some sin in this life, in our actions, it is only because we are kept by God. Sin, that is transgression, that is revolt. What else is sin called in the Word of God? Sin is called a lack of integrity. A lack of integrity. That is, it is a departure from the appointed pathway. Integrity, that is rightfulness. Thus, a departure from the right way, a departure from the true way, that is to make wrong decisions, that is to make sinful decisions. Why? Because that heart that is not right with God. Therefore, all that heart can do is sin. What is sin? Cry aloud, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. What is our sin? Sin is sometimes called in the Word of God a missing of the mark. Maybe you have done that, boys. Sometimes. To have a little bow and arrow. And a little target. And then you're trying to aim that right into the middle of the target. That is difficult. And every time, you're missing the mark. And do you know what the Lord says of us? That is our life. A missing of the mark. And what is that mark? That is the purpose that the Lord has created us. That is a spiritual purpose. That is to worship Him. That is to serve Him. With all our might, with all our strength. Did you ever try to hit that mark? Will you try that tomorrow, boys and girls? Will you try that? Or will you try that today? Or to hit that mark and to say, my whole life today, or from this point on, that is going to be what? Without sin. That is going to be to God's honor. That is going to be truly to worship Him. Did you ever try to hit that mark? Or if you will try to hit that mark, you know, if the Lord will instruct you, then you will find something out. You cannot hit that mark. No, there was a man, a rich young ruler. He said, Lord, all these things I have kept from my youth up. Oh, then he thought that he was quite close to that mark. But do you know what? That man felt something too. You can hear it in his question. What did he ask the Lord Jesus? He says, Lord, what must I do yet? He felt something. Not quite there. No, it is an impossibility. That is sin. That is dwelling in our heart. A missing congregation. A missing of that mark. Cry aloud. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Sin. What is sin?
You know what the Bible says sin is? It says it is vanity. That is a perversion. That is a distortion of nature. That we do not seek the honor of God, but that we are completely distracted to follow after the course of this world. And now this is what the Lord is showing unto His people, what sin is. That is, going from commandment to commandment, often beginning with one commandment, but the Lord leading further and further into the knowledge of sin and into the knowledge of the corruption of my entire being. And then not only what sin is, but all that sin brings along. That is our second thought. Where does sin come from? Where does sin come from? That is a mystery. That is a question that many people have sought to answer for throughout the ages of this whole world, and they have not been able to answer. Where does sin come from? Where did it begin? Well, we know it began in heaven. How is that possible? We don't know. But it began in heaven. That is, with the angels of God that were cast out of His presence. We know that was soon after the creation. Although it was completely after the creation, because we know the Lord has said after the creation of all things, behold, He says, it is very good. We know that man has also become involved in sin through the temptation of the devil. We know further that God Himself is not the author of sin, because in Him there is no unrighteousness. Those are things we know. They are revealed. But where the beginning of sin is, that is hidden from us. What are the consequences of sin? That is death. That is a threefold death. That is the fulfillment of the threatening of God. Every threatening of God will most certainly be fulfilled. Paul says the wages of sin, that is death. That is what sin is bringing. They are its wages. The temporal, the spiritual, the eternal death. Congregation, that consequence is no light matter. No man has brought himself into such a deep misery. That is the complete depravity of the entire human race. That is the loss of the image of God. In the place of knowledge, ignorance. In the place of righteousness, sin. No right relation between God anymore. In the place of holiness, corruption of our being. What is the consequence of sin? There is a guilty conscience. We see that in our first parents, they hid from God. Because they realized that they were guilty. What does that guilt have to do with? That has to do with the justice of God. The transgression of his law. Sin is the transgression of the law. That means that that law that is now testifying against me, it condemns me. Did not so before. Young people, you have sin on your conscience. Or who is there in this world that has no sin on their conscience? You feel that somewhat. Or we hope you do not just step. That you do not just step on your conscience. But you know now you can push it away a little bit. Now you can distract yourself. Now you can think about something else. The time is coming when you will not be able to push it away. When is that? That is when you are going to be standing before your judge. And the judge is not going to allow you to push it to the side. Every sin that he is going to bring before you, he is going to set your sin before you. Oh, that conscience. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible speaks about having no more conscience of sins. That means that in your conscience will be no consciousness anymore of sin. If we live on our whole life, to the end of our life, the same as we have been born, that sin that is going to burn in our conscience forever. But do you know what the Lord is saying here? When he is speaking about no more conscience of sin, when you had to stand before an earthly judge and you had not done what that accusation that is coming against you, you would have no terror and no fear. No conscience of sins. The Lord says that this is possible in a man's life in this world. Then there is peace, you understand it. Then there is so much rest. It is not only the guilt of sin, but it is also the filth of sin that is a consequence thereof. Thus, it not only makes us guilty before the law, but it makes us polluted. Thus, sin that fills a man with a sense of shame. Are we also ashamed of sin? Because we know the world we live in is no longer ashamed. No, we have gone so far that the world has no more shame. We can do anything. We can live out the wretchedness of our heart in an outward way. We can slay people. We can slay unborn children without shame. We can live a horrid life in homosexuality without sin, without shame. Congregation. That is the world. But we are in the world. We have some separation, some walls about us, for that we may acknowledge the Lord. But how much of that lack of shame, has not entered also within the walls of the house of God? Are we ashamed to walk in the paths of sin? Are you ashamed, boys? Or do you boast to one another when you have done this and dared to done that? Or do you hang your head in shame? Are you ashamed, young people, to be drunken? Are you ashamed to walk in the course of this world? Is it that you would not want father or mother or someone to know where that you are, what you are doing? Are you ashamed at how you dress? Are you ashamed at what you are doing on the internet? Or is there any sense of shame for sin left in our heart? Oh, the consequences of sin. What does all that sin do? It makes a separation. Does so naturally. When we sin against our parents, boys and girls, then you feel something, don't you? That is, there is anger. There is disappointment. Then I cannot approach mother or father as I did before. No, there is a certain separation. So that is with the Lord. So that is between God and our soul. Sin that is causing a separation with God. Why? God is holy. God is so just. God cannot dwell with sin. God cannot look upon sin. What did He do to our first parents? He sent them out of the garden. He could not dwell with them in that sensible presence and communion as He had done before. That is why that we are without God in this world. So it stands with us. From our birth, because of our sin in Adam, or if that relationship, if that never changes, then we are never reconciled to God by the blood of His only begotten Son, it is going to be an eternal separation. Forever and forever. But that is not all. Because there are also untold miseries in this world. The consequence of sin, sickness, afflictions, diseases, wars, disasters. We don't know half. Congregation, what does all that misery show us? What do all these consequences of sin show us? How evil that sin is. That sin is against God. That it is militating against His goodness as the Creator of mankind, as the Father of His people. Or that we have been as the prodigal, who has left Him, who has spent everything, turned our back to Him, and now sitting in what? In misery. The evil of sin against His holiness, against His purity, against His righteousness, against His long-suffering, against His patience. Therefore, how loathsome. Oh, how loathsome that sin ought to be to each and every one of us. Not in the first place because of all the misery that we have brought upon ourselves, but because it is against such a good-doing God. But by nature we are so hard. By nature, we are hard as a rock. We're uncaring. We're unfeeling. And congregation, when we stay that way, we can be sure that we will never be forgiven. What is now happening in the work of the Lord? Oh, then we are melting. Like David, then he begins to say, Lord, I have sinned against thy grace. I am evil, born in sin. Let us sing. Psalter 143, 1, 2, and 4. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me. In thy abounding love, blot out all my iniquity. O wash me wholly from my guilt, and make me clean within. For my transgressions I confess, I ever see my sin. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 143.
Thank you.
Congregation, when we consider something of the great evil and the loathsomeness of sin, then what a wonder that we read here in our confession, I believe the forgiveness of sins. Our catechism that says, what believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sins, that God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. Thus, that God will no more remember them. That is the meaning of the forgiveness of sins. That means that God will no longer bring them again into his remembrance, into his mind, to consider those sins. Or we can forgive one another, but we cannot forget so easy, can we? But we read two expressions in the Word of God concerning the forgiveness of sins. And what do we read? We read that God cast all those sins behind his back. The other one, that he will cast all his sins into the depths of the sea. Oh, David experienced something of this. How far away that God had separated his sins. As far as the east is from the west, David says, you can come no further away from one another. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. How is it possible that the Lord is forgiving sins? That is not actually the subject of this Lord's Day. That we hope to consider in Lord's Day 23, that is mentioned also here briefly, by the gracious imputation of the righteousness of Christ, and for the sake of Christ's satisfaction. But what do our fathers speak of here? They're speaking here of the fact that we read in the Word of God, there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Congregation, is that ever a wonder? That it is possible that our sins may be forgiven. Is it ever a wonder that God forgives sin? Or do we never think about it? How was that for the devils? There is for them no possibility. Have we done any different? What makes you and I to differ from Satan? That the Lord forgives the sin of mankind, but he does not forgive the sin of the devil. But when we have never felt our sin, when we have never grieved over, mourned over our sin, then we have no need for forgiveness. And it shows that we have no need and desire to be reconciled unto God anymore. On the other hand, there are those that go over this world that are afraid that it is not possible to be forgiven anymore. There are those, when the Lord shows them just a little bit, and increasingly more and more, what lies in their heart and what comes forth from their life, and that they fear that they are past hope. Paul called himself the chief of the sinners. But what does our confession say? So we read it week after week. For those who fear the impossibility, for those who see the great height, that mountain of sin, what do we read in that confession every week again? I believe the forgiveness of sins. Is that possible? When I have murdered a man, when I have done some other gross sin, that I have stolen, Manasseh was forgiven, and that thief was forgiven, and Saul of Tarsus was forgiven. Is it possible when the Lord has shown me mercy? Or is it possible when I have sinned against received grace? Jacob was forgiven, and David was forgiven, and Solomon was forgiven. I believe the forgiveness of sins. What kind of sins? John says the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. There is an unforgivable sin. That is the sin against the Holy Ghost. But that is not a sin from which any man will ever desire and long to be forgiven. And aside from this congregation, there is not one sin in this whole world that is too great and too awful to be forgiven. Paul says the law entered. Why? That sin might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Then it is not a partial cleansing. Then as we sing, then we are washed wholly from our guilt. Is that only the outward sins in our life? No. No, that is even the sins of my corrupt nature, our Father's sake, that God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long. No, the corrupt nature, that is not yet taken away, not in this life. It is left there. It is left there to humble a man. It is left there to prove a man. Therefore, that warfare that has to be carried on. And also, the Lord is going to chastise His own children because of their sins. And yet He says, for I will forgive their iniquities, and their transgressions will I remember no more. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. When He removes that sin, then He removes also the consequences. And what is the consequences? Do you remember it, young people? The consequences. Separation. Separation from God. Is that the burden now of your heart? Is that why sin is such a grief? When the Lord is covering, when the Lord is removing, when the Lord is cleansing, then the Lord is also taking away the consequences, that awful separation, that He may bring us again into His blessed communion, into His blessed favor. Congregation, John says, if we say we have not sinned, then we call God a liar.
And then we deceive ourselves. And the truth, he says, that is not in us, but that is what we do. Is it not? We say that we have no sin. That is why. That is why God says to his servants, cry aloud. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, because you and I, by nature, we deny our sin. Oh, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to open unto us what our sin is. At the same time, seek to know what your sin is. Seek to flee from your sin, because it is in this way that the Lord is teaching us how deeply that we have been corrupted and how evil that our nature is. And this we need to know. Oh, may our sin be our greatest burden, because it is against God. And may we seek that reconciliation. And that is still possible, not for the devils, but still possible for you and for me while we are still here in this world. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all that has been experienced, by those that have gone before. Oh, may it be the desire, the inward longing of the heart of each and every one of us, young and old, to know this also in our life. Before we have to stand soon and suddenly before the judgment seat of God, I believe the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, there is hope. Congregation, oh, seek it in a day of grace for Jesus' sake. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou didst publish it in thy word, that there is forgiveness, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, there is not one of us that does not need that same thing. Oh, it is a word that is applicable to each and every one, young and old, for there is not one that is without sin and condemned worthy in thy sight. Oh, show it to us, Lord. Open our poor blind eyes and make thy dear, thy beloved Son so necessary. Oh, make him precious unto us, that we might long for him as thy bride, to go out into the streets and to say unto the daughters of Jerusalem, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? Oh, that we might find him, that we might not let him go. Lord, remember us in mercy. Forgive our many, many sins. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Bring us safely to our homes. Help us in the week to come, each one in our place. Deliver us from the parched grounds. Give rain, Lord, in mercy. Be with all the afflicted for Jesus' sake. Amen. 284 stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O come, my soul, bless thou the Lord thy Maker, and all within me bless his holy name. Bless thou the Lord, forget not all his mercies, his pardoning grace and saving love proclaim. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 284.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.